Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jacob Heilbrunn, who is a senior editor at The National Interest and the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons. Previously, he was an editorial writer for The Los Angeles Times, a senior editor at The New Republic, and a Japan Society fellow. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jacob Heilbrunn.
Thanks, Ian.
And the latest CNN debate on national security was something. Well, I suppose it wasn't as sort of idiotic as the earlier one, in as much as there were some fairly flagrant displays of unbridled ignorance by some of the candidates. Did you think that some of the Perrys, the Keynes, and the Bachmans, did they do a little bit better this time?
I don't think Bachmann did. She managed to accomplish a feat of libeling the president of Iran. She claimed that he had declared in a speech at the United Nations that if Iran were to have nuclear weapons, it would eliminate Israel, and he actually did not say that.
She also said that Obama's policy vis-a-vis terrorists is dictated by the ACLU. So.
Right. That was in the debate as well. I think the debates show that there is a divide in the GOP between Huntsman and Ron Paul and the rest of the bunch. And for the dominant, for the Romneys and Perrys, it's the charge of ideological light brigade. They want to return to the Reagan credo of the United States essentially being a kind of schoolmaster handing out grades to the rest of the world, how much we approve or disapprove of their regimes.
So they're living in a different era. Then they have no concept of the damage done to U.S. hegemony by George W. Bush and the neocons that brought about the decline in America's power and influence. The very people who were asking the questions at the debate that was sponsored by the American Enterprise Institute and the Heritage Foundation.
That's something that the media has not brought out sufficiently. David Addington was Dick Cheney's factotum and chief enforcer of the torture program.
Well, you had Wolfowitz as well. You had Daniel Pletka,
right.
Fred Kagan, who takes credit for the surge. Of course, he had nothing to do with that. That was largely Petraeus and the Australian colonel, whose name escapes me at the moment. So did that sort of strike you a bit like either the night of the living dead or maybe they've come back?
Well, they have. Inside the GOP, George Bush may have been discredited for his economic policies, but not on foreign policy. In fact, they still try to claim Iraq as a victory for George W. Bush. But there's no sign that the American people or the public is buying into this mythology. The polls indicate that Obama's polling quite well in foreign policy, just not on the economy.
Well, that is an irony because probably at the end of the day, foreign policy won't matter as the economy will dominate. And in a paradoxical way, I've spoken to a number of economists recently where the suggestion is that perhaps President Obama's electoral fates next year are in the hands of Angela Merkel.
I agree. Whether Europe manages to rescue the Europe or not will be critical in determining whether the American economy lurches back into a severe recession. But interestingly, Europe occupies almost no interest in these debates for the candidates. I don't think any of them, except for perhaps Huntsman, has the foggiest notion of what's taking place. It's terra incognita for them.
Well, one of the more amusing moments, Jacob Harbron, was when Herman Cain referred to the moderator, Wolf Blitzer, as Blitz, as if he was one of Santa's reindeers.
Well, Cain has, you know, is someone who has made no pretense of his lack of knowledge. Instead, he flaunts it as a badge of honor.
Well, he looks like he's becoming less and less relevant. I mean, how do you explain the fact that Bachman was on top, and then Cain is on top? Perry was on top. Then Bachman was on top. Then Perry was on top, and then Cain was on top, and now Gingrich is on top. Everybody except the one guy that everybody thinks is going to end up with it, Romney.
Right. It's ABR, anyone but Romney. I think that Gingrich is the most plausible opponent against Romney, because he's actually exercised high political office, even if he floundered and ended up disgraced. None of the other candidates is really a credible alternative. Gingrich has served on the national level. And that, I think, is what it would take to defeat Romney. The primaries will indicate if the conservative base hates Romney more than it wants to defeat Obama.
Well, it's the thing about Romney that I find very disturbing. I mean, as much as he apparently is seen either as an empty suit or as a member of a Christian cult that the Christian right simply will not accept, the one thing that in terms of, I guess, the center and moderates in this country see him as a kind of reasonable person, perhaps dull, but a reasonable person. And he didn't show up at that values thing that they had in Iowa the other day. But his first ad that he's playing up in New Hampshire is just flagrantly dishonest, where he's actually, he has Obama from the last 2008 election, where Obama's quoting John McCain, and it's being presented as a statement by Obama.
It is bizarre, and I am not convinced that it's going to help him. I think it discredits him as a candidate for the general election, and that he is soiling his reputation.
Well, do you think, though, this is sufficient hue and cry about it? I mean, nobody's calling him a liar.
I mean, it's also the case that they have engaged in what Drew Weston is singling out as a racially coded ad. In that ad, whenever Obama is mentioned, the audience is subliminally, or they've been shaded to appear all black, and Romney's clips, it's all white people in his clips.
Well, following you and coming up in a little while is we'll be talking with Bruce Fine, who's a senior advisor to Ron Paul's 2012 presidential campaign. So I'm going to be asking him about Paul's appeal, which...
Well, I think Bruce Fine became disenchanted with the illegal measures that the Bush administration pursued.
Right, and there you had, at the debate, the architect of it all, David Addington, treated like an elder statesman, you know.
Well, he is a disgraceful figure.
Right, but why does CNN agree? I mean, it was co-sponsored by the Heritage and AEI and CNN. I mean, it felt to me like these people were being rehabilitated as elder statesmen.
That is true. I guess in Washington, though, if you stick around long enough, I guess everything is forgiven.
Well, that is, I guess, goes along with the idea that nowadays, you know, only students are jailed and demonstrators are jailed, and bankers and, you know, mass murderers go free.
Well, the only person who displays any real moral outrage over what amounts to a desecration of American traditions is Ron Paul. I mean, he constantly has to lecture the other candidates about the most elementary facts of the American political tradition. And
well,
he's the only one that seems to actually feel passionately about these issues. With the other ones, they're on automatic pilot.
Well, it is hard to understand how, again, this idea that continually, you know, there's one up, the lead keeps shifting from Bachman to Perry to Kane and now to Gingrich. But I'm astounded that Gingrich could even be where he's at, because he is such a mean and nasty person. His record is outrageous in terms of ethical lapses. He was forced out of the Congress, otherwise he would have gone to jail. His lobbying activities, which he says were, he was being consulted as an historian, are just unbelievable. And yet again, he's, you know, treated as a real contender.
Well, it's a testament to the weakness of the field and the fact that there is no one who's been anointed. George Bush was appointed by the poobahs of the Republican Party. His father had already been president. Reagan had been president. The party is adrift at this point, and it is riven between the Tea Party faction and a few more sensible candidates that are left. So if it may take losing this election to have a real civil war inside the GOP to settle these issues. But right now, we're just witnessing a conservative base that controls or has the dominant vote in the primaries and is desperately casting about for anyone but Romney.
Right, but we were just talking earlier about how an economic collapse in Europe could all but guarantee that one of these Republicans would get elected. And
that is correct.
And that would be a catastrophe for the United States, particularly, I don't know whether you read about Romney's business practices, but, you know, he's set this kind of model of hollowing out. The New York Times had an article on the front page about how corporate CEOs are sitting on piles of cash. They're firing their workers, not investing in R&D and plant and equipment, but buying back shares with billions in order to make themselves look good with share prices, and then rewarding themselves with vast bonuses. This model of extraction and concentration of the wealth at the top would, you know, makes Mitt Romney the poster boy for the 1%.
That's true. And Ian, the broader question may be if whether or not the United States is politically paralyzed and is headed towards permanent decline.
Well, on that note, Jacob Halbrun, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Again, I've been speaking with Jacob Halbrun, who is a senior editor at the National Interest and the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons. Previously, he was an editorial writer for the Los Angeles Times and a senior editor at the New Republic and a Japan Society fellow. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with Bruce Fein, senior advisor to the Ron Paul 2012 presidential campaign.
Yeah.